We're going to jump right into the Word of God this morning and then have an extended time of worship at the end of the service today. So go ahead and open up with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Really been enjoying going through the life of Moses. This morning we're really jumping way ahead in the life of Moses and we're looking more towards the end of his life. Would you join me? Let's stand together and honor the Lord as we read His holy word. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland and in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them, their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of the heaven in multitude. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as He has promised you." Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would just move people today out of status quo, out of just going through the motions, just remaining in this stagnant, even for some dormant place too long. And You would just get us moving today. That we would begin again the walk of faith that You have before us, the journey of faith that You have before us. Father, You did not destine us to stay stuck in this place for this long. I pray, Father God, that we would all have ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to us, and that we would start moving forward with You today. Lord, I pray that every one of us, as we receive revelation and knowledge from You today, would be determined to be doers of Your Word and not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Notice here in at the beginning of this, in verse 6, that God spoke to the whole of the children of Israel and said, "You've dwelt long enough at this mountain." Now, some of you, it could give me a little affirmation this morning. How many of you just feel like you've been stuck in this place that you're in long enough? And it's just time to get going. It's time for something better in your life. And I think God would agree with you on that, that it's time for change. It's time for progress. You've been walking in circles aimlessly long enough. It's time to take what belongs to you. Notice He said, look, I've promised you this land. And He gives the parameters. It's from here to here and from here to here and from this border to the river and so forth. And some of you just really believe that you're not fully realizing everything God intended for your life. I mean, you believe that He's promised you more than what you're walking in. Is that true this morning? Like, you just know there's more. There's something inherently inside of you that says, I am settling for something far less than God's best for my life. I mean, there's something in you that says, there's got to be more than this. You ever just have that nagging feeling sometimes? There's got to be more to life than what this is. And I think God agrees with you and says, you've been here long enough. It's time to get moving. Now, the thing about the promised land is this, is God doesn't just dish it out to you and there it is. There is a thing called faith. There's something about you hear what God says, and then you are moved to action. You're moved to believe what God says and start moving towards that thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It is our response to God's promise. So this promised land for us represents all these New Testament blessings that have been promised to us through Jesus. Now, you know, almost every day of my life, somebody asks me, how's it going? How you doing? How about you guys? And my response has become this. I am living every day what Jesus promised, the abundant life, more than enough. I mean, my life absolutely every day is jam-packed to the brim and overflowing with more than enough. How about you? And that can be taken negatively, or how about we just take that positively? But Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have and have it more abundantly. And let's be honest, many of us are not really experiencing that. We're not really experiencing that life that's more than enough. And I believe that's available to us. God has promised it. I mean, that was Jesus' declaration statement. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so if you're not really experiencing that, it is available to you, but you're going to have to get up and get moving and start moving towards that and cooperate with what God has promised you. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, I believe, it says the kingdom of heaven is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, those are three power-packed words, are they not? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is just very simply the ability to stand in the presence of God as if sin never existed in my life. It's this ability to have this boldness towards God. As a matter of fact, the Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So some of you used to really be bold towards God. Some of you used to really believe big that God was going to do these wonderful, powerful, glorious things beyond your comprehension, and some of you just lost your boldness. Some of you just lost your zeal. Some of you just lost your faith. Like, you just don't believe that anymore. But I'm just telling you, you've been at this mountain long enough, walking around in circles. You realize that the children of Israel roamed in this very limited square mileage for 40 years, and they walked in circles, and they covered the same ground over and over and over again, griping and complaining the whole time. But they didn't have to live there. They didn't have to be there. They weren't supposed to be there. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's purpose for their life. Remember, He sent them out to spy out the land. Numbers 13. He said, I want you to go check out this land that I'm giving to you. And 12 spies came back, and they came back and they said, man, the fruit there is so big and it's so juicy. I mean, we haven't seen anything like it. The land is wonderful. There's these walled cities there. It's just this glorious place. But I just hate it when we allow our butt to get in the way. I just couldn't resist. But our butt gets in the way so much of what God wants for our life. God promised us all these things, but we come up with our excuse. We come up with our reason why other people can have it, but we can't. Other people can do it, but we can't do it. But it's great. And I'm just telling you, we got to get our butts out of the way. I did that one for you, Gail. Righteousness is one of the greatest gifts from God because it causes us to be bold with God. It causes us to believe that what God said in His Word or what God spoke to us in our prayer time, is really His Word, and we can come into His presence with boldness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God, so that we could have this bold access to God, so we could come into the presence of God and really obtain what He has for us. Jesus shed His blood so that we would have peace with God and we could come into the throne of God and get what we need from God. And it's this gift. It's the promised land. But you aren't going to obtain the promises of God just sitting there and hoping for it. Sitting there and wishing for it. Sitting there and complaining about it. They griped and complained for 40 years. And they all got what they believed. The ones that said they couldn't go in, didn't go in. The ones that said, we are able to do this, Joshua and Caleb, went right on in with that whole generation, that new generation that was going in to obtain the things of God. Peace. The kingdom of heaven, these promises. The kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is nothing in the world. I mean, Michelle and I watch these shows on HGTV. We watched this one the other day. We just had to stop. It was, you know, they won the lottery and now they're getting these big houses that they could never afford before. Okay? And I'm just thinking, if I won the lottery, yeah, we'd probably make some improvements to the house. But I probably don't need something way out different than what I've experienced the rest of my life, because that's not going to make me happier. You know what makes me happier than just about anything in the world is peace. Just peace. Just coming home and everything's well. Things are right in the world. The kids are good. Come on, somebody. And just peace. You know, the greatest thought that Michelle and I have for today is that maybe we don't have anything to do this afternoon because it's been a crazy busy week. And just like the greatest thing in our life right now is that floaty thing that I could just lay on top of our above ground pool. Like, that would be better than a vacation. That would be better than, you know, anything. Peace. What is more valuable in your life than just peace? Just not being stressed out, not being worried, not anything. And we have this access to peace every day of our life. It's a promise from God. Philippians 4 says we don't have to worry about everything. You don't have to be anxious. But you can pray, and the result of your prayer time is that the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What would be greater than that? I mean, what would be worse than to live in this, you know, 10,000 square foot house with 8 bedrooms and, you know, 3 swimming pools and, you know, they have everything. I mean, this workout facility, a theater room and all of this, but just strife. And strain. And come on, somebody, peace. Peace belongs to us as the children. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you could use a little peace in your life today? And joy. Think about this. Right now, if I said, you know, what do you want more than anything else in your life? Wouldn't it just be to be happy? Just to be happy. And you're thinking, well, a new car would make me happy. A bigger house would make me happy. A vacation that I've never got to do, that would make me happy. Well, maybe. You know the trouble with vacation? We're going to take one in a few weeks. As soon as we turn this church over to Chad, man, we're going to take a vacation. But the trouble with vacation, everybody tell me, what is the trouble with vacation? You have to come home. See, everybody knew. And then, you know, about 2 days, you know, towards the end of your vacation, you start thinking about having to come home. So you ruin the last couple of days of vacation thinking about I have to come home. And then you're thinking about all the things that you needed to do that you didn't get done before you left on vacation, and those are still there. And then all the things that are piling up, I'm ruining your vacation for you. All those things are piling up while you've been gone, so you're thinking, I should have just stayed home and worked. Not really. But I'm just saying, all those things are temporary. There's a thing in the life of God and the kingdom of God called joy. You know what the great thing is about joy? Is it, other than Michael being married to joy, not that joy, the joy that comes from the Lord, and he's taking, yes? Sorry. Is joy is not dependent upon my circumstances. Joy is not dependent upon, come on, upon did I get what I want? Am I on vacation? Is it the weekend? Or anything. You can have joy on Monday morning. You can have joy on Tuesday afternoon. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a strength that comes from joy. What am I saying to you this morning? The children of Israel roamed around in the wilderness for 40 years. And God said, this land belongs to you. And yet they were content to just roam around in the same spot over and over and over again. And just across the river, come on, just across the river was everything that God promised them. Righteousness, peace, and joy belongs to every single person in the room that's a child of God. There's a happiness that's available to you just because you're born again. In 1 Peter, Peter writes about it. And at the end of this long discourse, he's talking about our salvation. And he says, it's joy inexpressible and full of glory. So I'm just telling you, quit chasing after the wrong thing, because that is just the status quo that just keeps you roaming around at the wrong place for too long. It's time for us to get moving and start pursuing the things of God. The things of God that brings us real righteousness, peace, and joy. Look at Deuteronomy 6. And let me just give you a few little things that's going to help you. Let me put a little plug in for our men's breakfast. That's 7 o'clock every Wednesday morning at PC Elkhorn restaurant. I haven't made the last couple, but I made the first one. And we had a wonderful discussion about the things of God and what it means to be a man, what it means to be a man of God, our man up breakfast on Wednesday mornings at 7. But I think the thing that came out of that discussion more than anything else is just, I think the thing that probably brings the greatest satisfaction in life is consistency. Just being consistent. Just being consistent in the things of God and showing up. Because I just see people in our position, man, are this roller coaster experience of life. They have high highs and they have low lows, and they're up and they're down, they're in and they're out. I mean, some people go through crisis and they run towards God. Crisis is averted, and then we don't see them again for months on end until they're in trouble again, and then they're right back in the house of God. And I think, come on, let's be smart enough to realize the pattern that's going on in our life. I'm telling you, you run towards God, He starts running towards you. He will meet you in that place of faith, but He wants you to stay consistently in the blessings and the promises of God. He doesn't want you in and out and up and down. Come on, somebody. But then there's other people that are quite the opposite. They can kind of go along with God until the trouble comes. And those people run away as soon as some trouble comes and some heat is on their life. And I'm just telling you, there's blessing and there's promise. There's peace. There's joy. There's abundance. Come on. There's meaningful, purposeful living for your life. But the key is found in consistency. And let's just do this real quickly. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Let's look at this. Verse 1 says this. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. I like the language of that, the emphatic language. God says, let me tell you about how to live in this new land that you're going in to possess. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord and keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you and your sons and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So God said, when you go into this land, this promised land, you're crossing over, you're going to possess this. Let me tell you what's important so that you can enjoy what God has provided for you. You need to consistently walk in the ways of God, which brings consistent blessing from God. Consistency is the key. And here you are this morning. Let me just say to you that that church attendance, I know that sounds self-serving as a pastor, really, but there's nothing more critical, nothing more important, really, in your walk with God than just showing up at church in a very consistent way. Now, I know I sound like an old guy when I say things like this, but it's okay. We've been in ministry for over 30 years, and so we've observed some things for over 30 years, 34 years of ministry. And here it is. The people that consistently walk in the blessings of God show up consistently. They are not up and down, and they're not in and out. Their joy level is more constant. Their peace level is more constant. Come on, somebody. Their confidence in the things of God is more constant. Are you listening to me? Than people that follow God either when they need God or they follow God when you know, there's no trouble. And the people that are in and out and up and down never consistently walk in the blessings of God. And God said, look, I'm giving you this land that you did not do anything to deserve. I'm giving it to you. But you do have to go in and possess it. And when you go in and possess it, then just remember the things that I've taught you. And I want you to teach these to your children. And so when you get up in the morning, I want you to talk about the things of God. And when you go to sleep, I want you to talk about, when you're on a trip, I want you to talk about the things of God. I want you to consistently, every day of your life, teach your family the ways of God. And here's the greatest commandment that I can give you. Love God with your entire being. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Now that suggests every area of life, doesn't it? That we're going to love God, we're not going to withhold any area of our life from God. So my work life belongs to God. My play life belongs to God. Come on. My rising up, my going to sleep, my talents, my abilities, they belong to God. I'm going to honor God with my life. I'm going to love God entirely. And love is the most perverted word, I think, in the English language. We don't even understand love anymore because we think love is something that we feel. And love is not something that we feel. The feeling comes from doing loving things. The feeling follows love. Love's not the feeling. The feeling's the result of love. Loving God is something that we do. It's not something that we feel. Because if we went by feelings, really honest to goodness this morning, most of the time I'm really excited about getting up on Sunday morning, but I didn't even know how I got home last night. I was so tired because I ran a weed eater and I was clipping bushes and I was just working really hard yesterday. And then, you know, I had all this stress for our launch meeting, you know, in St. Joseph, and people showed up and we're working hard and we're talking to people and I'm trying to talk about this great church that we're going to build together. And then when I got home, I couldn't sleep. I would lay down in my bed and just wake back up. So I'd get up and read some more. So I don't know how much sleep I got. So this morning, how many of you know the best sleep happens at about 5 o'clock in the morning? It doesn't matter if you didn't sleep all night. You can always sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that amazing? And I did not want to get up this morning. In fact, I got up this morning and I still didn't want to be up this morning. So real honest, I thought, you know what? I could just watch. Just let Chad preach today. I could just sit and watch the British Open and see if Phil Mickelson's going to really hang on and win this thing today. I thought I could just drink coffee. I could sit in just, you know, a pair of gym shorts, and I would have been perfectly content doing that. But you know what? I'm not moved by how I feel. Loving God is something that I do, not something that I feel. And the reason that your spiritual life is up and down is because you're doing it when you're feeling it. And I'm saying do it consistently, and the feeling will follow that. Loving God is something that we do. Loving God is something I do with my checkbook. Loving God is something that I do with my time. Loving God is something that I do with other people. They asked Jesus, Mark chapter 12, what is the most important commandment? They're always trying to trip Jesus up. Jesus, without blinking, without even thinking about it, he said, I'll just tell you the greatest commandment. And he quotes from Deuteronomy 6. And he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he didn't hesitate. And he said, and let me tell you, there's another commandment. It's just as important. Just as important. It's just as important as loving God. It's loving people. Loving people like you love yourself. Now, if you follow up Jesus' words that we find in the book of Mark and Matthew, the Apostle John writes about this in 1 John 4 and verse 7 and 8. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and he that does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. And I'm just telling you, there's this wonderful promises from God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Having access to the presence of God when you need Him. When you don't know what to do with your kids. When you don't know what to do about your finances. When your health is suffering. There's access that we have to the presence of God because we're righteous. There's peace that will guard our hearts and minds every day because it's a promise from God. There's a strength that comes from joy because we're part of the kingdom of God. It's His promises. And if you want to access those promises, then walk in His commandments. Loving God entirely brings supernatural favor and provision in my life. In your life, and never forget that God has blessed you more than what you deserve. But consistently walking with God, consistently loving God, consistently loving other people is the key. Why do you think God said, teach this to your children and make this part of your everyday life? can I say it doesn't matter how much you learn at church if it's not lived out in your everyday life? I mean, just what was the point? You come to church and you get this great revelation. Come on, we've all come out of the church service going, man, that was awesome. What did you learn today? I don't remember, but man, it was awesome. Then that's a fail on my part and a fail on your part. Because the blessing isn't about getting this great buzz from the church experience. The blessing is that every day of our lives, that we walk in the things of God, that we love God with our actions and we love other people with our actions. Come on, somebody. And that's where the blessing is. That's where the promise is realized. It's in our everyday life. The things of God needs to be part of our everyday discussion. Love. People are wondering, you know, and I've got friends who are asking, what's been our response to this hatred and to this murder and to this bloodshed that we are seeing in the world almost every single day? The only answer I really have is love God and love people. And you can do that. There's a couple of images I want you to think about before we stand up and worship this morning. A clenched fist or a pointed finger. That's the posture of fear and blame. There's a lot of voices in the world, but I want you to hear the voice of Jesus. What's the greatest commandment? Love God and love people. That is not the posture of love. That's the posture of retaliation. That's the posture of getting even. That's the posture of it's your fault. It's not me, it's you. Come on, somebody. But Jesus said, love God, love people. But my arms open, ready to embrace, ready to hug. That's the posture of love. I know it's not going to solve all the world's problems. But you know what? It will solve your world's problems. You can live your life in fear and hatred and blame and be miserable. Be angry. Be fed up. Or you can live your arms wide open, ready to love, ready to embrace, ready to forgive, ready to heal, ready to restore. And it'll bring peace and joy in your life. And you'll walk in the things of God. Are you listening to me? If you don't have the relationship with God that you should have today, let me just say it's available. Jesus came to this world so that every single one of us could have peace with God, could have a relationship with God, that God could be part of our life, and we could be part of His life, that we could be part of His family, so that our sins would be forgiven, so that we could receive this gift of righteousness, so that we could come into the presence of God without fear, without guilt, without shame, without embarrassment, that we could boldly approach the throne of God. And that's all available to you through Jesus. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son and confess with your mouth that God raised Him again from the dead, you can be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand up and worship God for just a little while this morning. And if you want to give your life to Jesus today, or you want to come back into right relationship with Jesus today, then come forward and let us pray with you. If you need prayer for anything this morning, you need somebody to be in agreement with you, maybe for something that's not going well in your life, then we're here for you, and we'd love to pray with you this morning. But let's just worship God. Let's just love on God for a little bit, and then we'll be dismissed.